When I was a child, people always used to say, especially mothers, if you can't say something nice about someone, don't say anything at all. These days, I think what children hear is if you can't say something nice about someone, go on social media. Because on social media, there is nothing nice about anyone, or very little. And it may not surprise you to know that the Jewish tradition actually doesn't teach that. Judaism teaches that you should dan lekaf zchut, that you should try to see people in a favorable light. In the same way that you always want to put a painting in its most favorable light, that's how you should see a person. The most famous exponent of this tradition was Reb Lev Yitzchak of Berdichev, called the Ohev Yisrael, the one who loved Israel. And a typical story that is told about him is once he was going to the synagogue on Yom Kippur and he saw a man outside the synagogue on the morning of Yom Kippur smoking a cigarette. So Reb Lev Yitzchak came up to him and he said, "My dear friend, you must not know that today is Yom Kippur." And the man said, "Yeah, I know it's Yom Kippur, Rabbi." He said, "Well, then you must not know that on Yom Kippur it's actually forbidden to use fire and to smoke a cigarette." And the man said, "No, I know it's forbidden, Rabbi," as he puffed away. So Reb Lev Yitzchak looked up at the sky and he said, "Ribono shel Olam, dear God, you see how wonderful your people are. Smoking on Yom Kippur, and yet he will not tell a lie about it." And that tradition is actually in the words of our commentators. They say even if someone is of dubious character, and you have reason to think that their words or their actions are motivated by ill, it is still worthwhile to try to find a good motivation, because not only is it good for your soul, but it's good for society, for people to think well of each other. It will lift us all up. And it is against the background of that, the idea that we really have to try, and most of us honestly do not try, to think well of even people that on instinct we don't think well of. Because our natural tendency is to find reasons to dislike the people that we dislike on instinct. But we're supposed to find reasons to think better of them, not to think worse. But I want to put that mitzvah next to another mitzvah as well, which stands alongside it, neither one negating the other, but both important. And that is the mitzvah of what the Jewish tradition calls tochecha, rebuke. The obligation to say to someone who is doing something wrong, you're doing something wrong. And that obligation is, again, given many different reasons. The Ramban, Nachmanides, comments on the verse in Leviticus 19:17, the verse that says that you should rebuke your neighbor et amitecha. He says the reason that you rebuke is because if you are silent, you are complicit in the sin. That when someone does something dangerous or hurtful or harmful and you don't say anything, you're a co-conspirator, whether you intend to be or not. And therefore, it is a mitzvah, and remember that mitzvah means obligation or commandment, not good deed. It is a mitzvah to rebuke when something is done that deserves rebuke. And so we come to this past week. In this week, as you know, we had the awful, painful spectacle of Americans marching in America as Nazis. They didn't hide it, and they didn't equivocate. They marched under a swastika. They used the Nazi salute and said, "Sieg Heil." They chanted slogans that "Jews will not replace us," and others that I will not repeat from the Bima. Nazi websites called on people to burn the synagogue in Charlotte, and the rabbi there gathered up all the Sefer Torah and hid them in another building just in case the synagogue was burned. This is America, so they march. Just yesterday, a member of our congregation for 50 years, Merton Schwartz, came to my office with his bronze star that he earned fighting Nazis in World War II. And he said, "You know, Rabbi, it's ironic. In Germany, it would be illegal to march. In America, they're allowed to march." And then we had the soul-crushing spectacle of the President of the United States standing up and for more than a day not saying it is an outrage for Nazis to march in the United States of America. And it got worse. In the press conference that he held, when one of the reporters asked about the alt-right, he said something about the alt-left, and then he said, "And what you call the alt-right." And he said, "Some people on both sides are very fine people." Well, there were very fine people marching on the left, along with some people who were not at all fine, including, by the way, the rabbis of the community who marched. But nobody marching on the right is a very fine person, because a very fine person does not march under a Nazi flag, no matter what they think or what they feel. A very fine person does not march next to someone who gives a Nazi salute. It doesn't matter what the purpose is. You forfeit your claim to being a very fine person, and God knows that any American should know that. How many Americans died fighting the Nazis that these people identify with and worship? And what about us? What about us? There are people sitting in this room this morning, in this congregation, who have tattoos on their arms, who lost their family, lost their home, lost their lives, were enslaved for years by the same people that these marchers think our heroes. They killed 6 million of our people, 1.5 million of our children, the same people that these marchers identify with. And then the President of the United States of America gets up and says, "There are bad people on both sides." And only under pressure, and only a day later, does he condemn the KKK and the Nazis, and then later equivocates again. I don't care if you're left or right, if you think he's the best president we ever had or the worst, this is not okay. And anyone, I will say it, who defends this has lost their moral compass. I appreciate the fact that you applaud. But do you realize how sick and strange it is that you have to applaud a rabbi saying you should condemn Nazis? What a position that puts us in? That we have to actually have this discussion? There has never been, never in my lifetime, and not in yours, a major public figure that would not immediately say, this is outrageous, Nazis marching in America. We fought and died. People in this country fought and died. Soldiers by the tens of thousands fought and died to prevent the Nazis from taking over the world. Forget what they did to the Jews. Forget their racist laws. Forget their homophobic laws. Just the war. How can you offend every veteran, everybody who went through our military services, by not saying these are terrible people? They want to tear down everything that we have built. It's unthinkable. I don't know, and nobody does. No matter what people say, nobody knows the president's soul, and I don't know his motivations. And I'm mindful of what I said at the beginning, that judging people favorably is also a mitzvah. And I don't want to stand up here and say he did it for this reason or that reason, both because I don't know and also because it doesn't matter. In this case, you judge someone by what they did, not by what they felt. And all I know is that the symbolic representative of the United States of America watched the Nazis march in the streets and did not immediately say, that's wrong. That we don't tolerate. That they didn't have a legal right to do, but every American citizen should anathematize, curse, dismiss, and despise them. That he didn't say. And that was the only thing that any public figure should say. The strange thing about judging favorably and condemning is they have the same point. They both promote peace, say our sages. Because remember what the Ramban taught. If you don't condemn it, you are complicit in it. You encourage it. And you know, and I know, that if you look on the alt-right websites, they all felt encouraged. They all felt the equivocation of his condemning later as an encouragement. And if they felt it as an encouragement, then it was an encouragement. I put this source for study in our bulletin this week for a reason. I want to read you the words of Elie Wiesel, who was our centennial scholar and who sadly is no longer with us. I'm obsessed with silence because of the silence of the world. I do not understand why the world was silent when we needed its outcry. I always come back to that problem. Where were the humanists, the leaders, the liberals, the spokesmen for mankind? The victims needed them. If they had spoken up, the killers would not have killed or would have killed less. If they had spoken up, the slaughterer would not have succeeded in his task. Now, I want to make clear, there were some bad people opposing the Nazis in that march. Some of them deserve to be condemned, deserve to be despised, deserve to be anathematized, and deserve to be watched. That was an important point to make. And I do not at all fault the president for making that point. I think that needed to be said. But it needed to be said second. First, you need to say that the worst human beings the world has ever known, who plunged this world into the worst war we had ever known, who got on television the next day and said, how could he let his daughter marry one of them, about which he has still not said a word, that they have to be condemned before you say, oh, by the way, there are some bad people on the other side too. I never thought that I would have to speak these words to a congregation, but here they are. These are Nazis. These are the people who rounded up our people all over Europe and put them in gas chambers. And they marched in the streets of an American city. And people defended the silence of the leader of our country for a full day. So here I come to the third mitzvah. The first is to judge favorably. The second is to rebuke. The third mitzvah is teshuvah, repentance. The President of the United States needs to repent. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.